Let's look here in Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 22. The Bible says that while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again." And they were exceeding sorry. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter, and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" He saith, "Yes." And Peter answered the question. He really didn't know yes or no. He just spoke out. He tended to do that quite often. He said, "Yes." And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers?" Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." Father, we thank you for this morning, and I pray you would help me. Lord, I pray that you'd help my heart and my mind and my soul to be in tune with your perfect will. I pray, Lord, that as I preach, you'd preach to those that are here and those that are watching. And I pray, Lord, that you'd still our hearts and still our minds for just a moment and allow us to hear a word from another world that may give us, Lord, what we need and what we stand in need of in the days to come. And I pray most of all for that one listening, that one watching, that one that's here in the amongst us today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior. I pray, oh God, that conviction would grip their heart. Lord, you'd hang them out over hell and show them, Lord, how desperately they need to be saved before it's everlasting too late. Lord, whatever happens today, and Lord, whatever comes to pass from this message and from this service, Lord, we'll be careful to give you the honor and the glory for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The story we just read, as I mentioned, is some people claim this isn't even a miracle. It was just a coincidence. But if we've learned anything, I hope you've learned this, that in the life of Christ, there were no mistakes. Miss Kim just sang that song, "He Does All Things Well." Amen. And every detail that we have recorded, we know that according to John, that what we have is not all that he did. In fact, John said that if everything that he did and every miracle he performed, if it were written, he said that the heavens could not contain the books that were written. I believe that every breath he took, there was a miracle taking place. I believe every step, every move, every moment of his life, it was one miracle after another. But we only have certain ones recorded in the Word of God. And here we find this unusual story of a need that comes up in Peter's life and in the Lord. And old Peter doesn't know what they're going to do about it. And by the way, the ones that try to preach and tell people that the Christian life is one of just blessing and prosperity and wealth and health, they do not, let me tell you, I don't know where they got that from, but they didn't get it from the Bible. I heard one the other day, he said Jesus was a rich man. But I want to ask you something. If he was so rich, how come they had to catch a fish to pay their tax? Because he was poor. How come if he was so rich, how come he couldn't even have a place to lay his head at night? He said foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. But here, I want to look here in this morning quickly, and I want to preach this morning on this, on blessings in disguise. Blessings in disguise. The Christian life is a life of blessing. You can believe that. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." The Christian life begins with blessing of salvation. Amen. No greater blessing have you and I ever received than that of eternal life. Amen? That is the blessing of all blessings. The day that Jesus Christ came to us and drew us and convicted us and saved us, that is the greatest day of our life. No greater blessing than being born again. No greater blessing than knowing that when you leave this walk of life, where you're going when you die. There's no greater blessing than knowing, Brother Larry, where your family is. When you say goodbye on this side, you can have the full assurance that you'll say hello on that side. Amen. The greatest blessing I've ever experienced is as a 16-year-old boy when the Lord of heaven saved my soul. Amen. It begins in blessing. It ends in blessing. It begins with the blessing of salvation, and it ends in the blessing of glorification. Amen? Amen? Listen to me this morning. If you are saved, if you've experienced salvation, you will experience glorification. That's what Paul meant when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. He said, "Behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." He said, "In the moment, the twinkling eye." He went on to say this: "This corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality." Amen. He said, "And then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" He said, "The sting of sin is death. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Yeah. Somebody said, "What do you think about the church and the direction of the church?" I'll tell you the direction of the church, the true church, the living body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ. She's not going down. She's going up. Amen. Listen, we have been predestined. That makes a lot of people nervous, but we have been predestined. We've been predestined, Brother David, for glory. Amen. Listen, we have been sealed until the day of our redemption. Thank God, one day soon, very soon, there's going to be glory for the child of God. Amen. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 8. He says, "Rather, the sufferings of this present time cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us." Amen. Oh, we suffer down here. Truly, this life is one of tears and sorrow. But listen, the Bible says Jesus was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. But just like Jesus, after his sorrow, there was glory for him, there's going to be glory for you and for I. But between salvation and glorification, we have this process going on in our lives called sanctification. And that's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, where he says, "He which has begun a good work in you," that's salvation. He said, "shall perform it," that's sanctification, "until the day of Jesus Christ," that's glorification. And Brother David, between the blessing of salvation and the blessing of glorification, in between, there's many blessings in disguise. How many of us have had things happen in our life that at the time we thought were the worst things, but when we look back, we realize that God blessed us through those things? How many people have you met, and when you first met them, you thought, "This is the biggest idiot I've ever met in my life"? I know Brother David, pastoring for as long as he did, he met many that way. But Brother David, how many of them, when they come in church, you thought, "Man, this person, maybe they caused trouble. Maybe there was a child, a disobedient, a rebellious child, and they always were causing trouble." And you thought, "Man, they're going to end up on death row or in the pen. They're going to end up there in Eddyville somewhere." But later on, the Lord got a hold of their heart, and the Lord changed their life. And that one that you thought was a burden and was a problem become the greatest blessing in your life.
Amen.
I promise you, if you talk to my pastors when I was a young person, a teenager, they would tell you that if they predicted my future, they would not have predicted I'd be preaching today in the church. When I first started to preach, one of my former pastors called me and said, "I want you to come preach on Sunday night." Well, first he said, "Are you really called to preach?" I said, "Yes, sir, I'm called to preach." He said, "I want you to come preach on Sunday night." He said, "I just want to see if what they're saying is true."
And I'll never forget, I stood there behind that pulpit, and he sat behind me and wept and cried and shouted. And then I didn't realize why he was shouting and why he was rejoicing, because there was a time where he didn't understand it. He didn't realize it. Listen, these children in our church and in Sunday school, and the ones we pick up on our van, and they come from the ghettos and from the hard places, they may look like nothing to you and I, but what we don't realize is they could be a blessing in disguise. And here's the thing, God's blessing us right now, all of us, in ways we don't understand. But I want you to see in this text today three lessons in disguise that we learn about, and maybe we can make application and go on our way. The Bible says in verse 22, "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him." That doesn't sound like a blessing, does it? But he says this, "But on the third day, he shall be raised again," and they were exceeding sorry. Now, it's easy for us after the resurrection to look back and say, boy, that was a blessing. But for these men, now listen to me. I'm going to try to be brief this morning. I don't have much wind. I went coon hunting the other night and got way in yonder. And I realize I'm still trying to get over that, the effects of that COVID. I got short of wind, but anyhow. But I'm going to try to get right to the point if you'll listen to me. Listen well. But listen, as Jesus got closer to the cross, his focus moved from the multitudes down to those 12 men that were his disciples. He focused himself on those ones that he knew were going to be responsible for carrying on the Great Commission. And now he's with these men, and he says, "I shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they are going to kill me." That was the worst thing they could imagine could ever happen. These men had put everything they had on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say this morning, if you've not put it all on him, you're missing out on the greatest life can ever be lived. Amen? Amen. The fishermen left their boats and their nets. The doctor left his office. The tax collector turned in his resume. And they all followed Jesus. And now here they are, 3 years later. And he says, "I've got news for you. I'm about to be killed." And they didn't like what they heard. What they could not realize at that time, and we can sit here today and point our finger at them and say, how could they doubt? But if we had been in the same predicament, if we had been walking in their shoes, we probably would have felt the same way. What they didn't understand was this was going to be a blessing in disguise. To them, it looked like something awful. To them, it looked like something tragic and terrible. And to them, it looked as if this was the absolute worst thing could happen in their life. But in reality, it was the best thing that could have ever happened in their life. I think about this. I think about Christ's pardon through death is a blessing in disguise. You see, this morning, I'm not going to even, my brother Bud says 3 points, but 16 is up. I'm skipping those 16. I'm just going to hit these main points. We're going to go our way. But this morning, if we could have been there on Calvary and witnessed what took place, none of us would look and say, that's a blessing. It was the most awful thing that mankind had ever seen. The Bible says they gazed upon him. They looked upon him. They mocked him. They scorned him. And then, listen, I'm saying through the part, Christ's part, and through death, we realize that there is a great blessing in disguise. What Jesus told them sounded like anything but a blessing. I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to be killed. But listen. But through his death and resurrection, the greatest blessing ever received by man was made possible. Yeah. Now, I want to ask you something this morning. Where would the world be? It's in pretty bad shape as it is, but where would it be without the pardoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, Brother David, where would we go? Where would we go, Brother Larry? Sung that song, where could I go but to the Lord? I want to ask you something this morning. If there was not a rugged cross, if there was not a hill called Calvary, if there was no death of Jesus Christ, where would we go in hard times? Where would we run when the battle was raging? Where would we turn when the burdens were heavy? If there were not a rugged cross, if there were not a dying Savior, who could we turn to? I'll tell you, we'd have nowhere to go. We'd be like this world, aimlessly drifting with nowhere to run. But aren't you glad for the pardoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. Listen to this. The Bible says this, and they were exceeding sorry. In verse 23. Why? That word sorry means sad. I thought about preaching it on sorry saints. Not the way you think, but. The scene, sorry, you get it, pun. Y'all gonna have to pick up your laughter on my jokes now. I'm missing my number one laughter. They should have rejoiced, but instead they mourned. Why did they become sorry? You don't know why? They missed the last part. All they heard was part of what he said. He said, they're gonna kill him, but on the third day. Here's the thing. They believed what they wanted to believe. But I've got news for you this morning. The last part of what he said was just as true as the first part of what he said. And this morning, we must realize that in life, there's blessings in disguise and things that seem to us as the worst thing and the most unexplainable things in our life. God can use those things to absolutely bless us and those we know and love. Hey, we're sorry. They did not have faith in all that he said. It will be hard for you to find many people in this part of the country that don't believe some of what Jesus said. But they don't want to believe all that he said. And this morning, I don't know how you feel, but I got an idea, as my daddy would say, that I know how you feel. I'm glad Jesus put the third day in that sentence. Amen. I'm glad it didn't stop with they're going to kill him. And oh, how awful life would be if it ended with that, with just the negative, with just the ugly and just the bad. And listen, I understand the world we live in is a dark world, but I'm so tired of all the mumbling and grumbling and complaining and people saying, oh, let me say this morning. It may be bad, but it's been worse for others before us.
That's right.
Whenever they start cutting preachers' arms off and cutting their tongues out of their mouth and sticking them in logs and setting them on fire and hanging them upside, I hope that day don't come. Trust me, I do. But Brother David, until it gets to them, until they open up the football stadiums and turn lions loose on the field and let them devour us, you and I need to understand it has been worse. And even though how bad things may seem in our life, we can rejoice in the fact that there was a third day. Amen. Do you know for them 3 days, the devil had to be having the time of his life? The Bible doesn't exactly explain exactly all that went on, but we do know that there's prince in the power of the air. We do know there's principalities and powers, and we do know that there's evil and demonic spirits in this world, not just a few, but thousands upon thousands. I have to believe they gathered around that tomb, and for 3 days, it was nothing but high fives. That was pre-COVID. High fives, chest bumps, hug, celebration. They said, he's dead. He's dead. He's dead. But oh, on that third and appointed day, when the rock rolled away and the Rock of Ages walked out, they were on their knees trembling. Why? Because the third day had come. I want to say right now in our lives, it may seem like we're on day one or day two, and the devil looks at us and laughs at us and, oh, and listen, and he thinks he's got us down. But I'm glad the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it's in the heart of every believer. And we may be down, but we're not out. We may be down, but we're not done. And there's a third day coming, and when that third day comes, we will rise again.
Amen.
Pardon through death is a blessing in disguise. Think about that. Then I want to give you this. Not only Christ's pardon through death, but I'm not going to read it again for sake of time, but Christ's provisions that are divine are blessings in disguise. Now think about this. Peter had a need, or the Lord, anyway, long story short, there was a need. The Lord met it, but he didn't do it the way that you and I would do it, did he? And we understand this in our own lives, that God provides for us. He does. He supplies all of our needs. Jesus told the disciples to not take care. He said, take no thought for tomorrow. And listen, I could go on and on and on about the verses in the Bible, about the provisions of God and how faithful He is in meeting our needs. But the truth of the matter is, if we'd all be honest, He very rarely meets our needs in the way we think He should or would. Why does He do that? I believe He does it so that He gets all the glory and all the honor. I've had people this week tell me about things and how the Lord's met their needs in unusual ways. And you know, it blesses my heart. But did you know, Brother David, every person I've talked to this week who had a need, not one of them, the way their need was met, was it met in a way that I would have thought it would have happened. And here the Lord says, Peter, you've got a need. Now quickly, I want to say, we see there's a lesson about the thinking of the Savior. The Bible says that Peter, in verse 24, that he went and the tax collector, the one that received tribute. Now I'm not going to get into all this history of this. This was a temple tax. And this person who asked him was really just doing his job. He said, does your master pay tribute? And old Peter, you know how he was. He said, yeah. Have you ever answered a question and then you said, and you thought, I wonder if that was right or not?
Yeah.
And the truth is, Peter come in that room or come to that house and he was worried about it. He was thinking, oh no, I done put my foot in my mouth again. I believe it was Brother Fraser said, some people got a foot-shaped mouth. That was Peter, amen. He always had his foot in his mouth. And listen, he walked in. And now he's not said a word to Jesus about it, but guess what? Jesus said, Peter, what's on your mind? Now listen, Jesus knew what was on Peter's mind.
Amen.
But he wanted Peter to get it off of his mind. That's the thoughts of the Savior. Listen, it's a blessing. Listen, there is a blessing to know this, that Jesus, He hears what we hear. He knows and sees what we see. He feels what we feel. And listen, you all know the secret of the Christian life? It's living in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Did you know this? The only thing that living in the conscious awareness of the presence of God, the only thing it'll hinder in our life is sin. That's it. And Peter was on the outside. Jesus was on the inside. But he heard what the man said. He heard what Peter said, and he knew what was on Peter's heart and mind. The Bible says here in verse 27 that now Jesus told him the children are free. What Jesus was saying here is, I'm the Son of God, and I don't have to pay tax to God because I'm His Son. There's a great claim in this. But he says, but verse 27, I like this. He says, lest we should offend them. There's a lesson about the tenderness of a soul winner. Now I'm going to try to help you. I may make you mad. That's fine. If the truth offends you, let it offend you. The Bible says, Psalms 119, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Brother David, we do not need to live an offensive life. When I say that, now listen, What Jesus was dealing here was not some moral issue or spiritual issue. What he was saying is, Peter, technically I don't have to pay this tax, but so those that are out there will not be offended, we're going to pay that tax. And this morning, let me ask you something. If Jesus thought it expedient that he would not offend them, how come we're so bold to think we can go around and just tick people off on purpose and just try to make their, you know, these keyboards and computers have made a lot of courageous people. I mean, they're brave, they're bold. And I mean, they can sit there and say, you know, say all kinds of things. It's sin because, you know, when I was a boy, you had to watch what you say. Because you say it, you might pay for it.
That's right.
And but now we've got a whole bunch, and listen to me, what's sad is Christian people are that way. And why Jesus was that way is because Jesus did not want to do something unnecessary and offend them over something that was non-essential and get them where they would not listen to what he had to say. I heard of a preacher that's going through a big church that's going through a church split. It was going on. It hadn't happened, but it was building up. And he called another preacher friend to come, and he come down and he met with, you know, the leader of the one division and the leader of the other division. And he asked them this. He said, "I want to ask you something. Is this over doctrine?" And they said, "No." He said, "Is this over immorality or some type of sinful conduct?" They said, "No." He said, "This is over just a quabble, isn't it?" They said, "Yeah." And he asked those men, he said, "Would you break up your home over this?" He said, "Would you leave your wife and children over this? Would you split up your family over this?" And he said, "Absolutely not." He said, "Then why do you want to split up the family of God? Why do you want to divide the church? Why do you want to fall out with that?" And listen this morning, as children of God, we need to not live our lives trying to see how many people we can offend. I know everybody don't like that, but that's the truth. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me and you. Anyway. Lesson about training of a servant. Anyway, listen to this. Jesus told Peter to go cast a hook, verse 27. Now think about this. He didn't tell him to go kill a deer. He didn't tell him to go catch an animal. He didn't tell him to go sell a house or buy a piece of land. He said, "Catch a fish." You want to know why, Brother? Because Peter knew how to catch fish. He had done it before. Now listen, this seems kind of unusual. What did Jesus tell Peter? He said to put down his nets, to take up his cross and follow him. But now Jesus is saying, "Go pick up your fishing pole, Peter. You're going to need it."
Yeah.
Now here, I want you to see this. I'm winding up. I'm coming in. I'm going to land real quick, just a minute. But I've got one more thing I got to say, so I got to say this real quick. You and I have no idea what God is doing in our lives right now for the future. When Peter was on the old cussing Peter, he could cuss with the best of them. I mean, he had a filthy mouth. I mean, listen, he told dirty jokes. He was a rotten man, but Jesus saved him and changed his life. And now Jesus says, "You know, Peter, all them days you spent fishing, you're going to need that experience now." And what we're doing right now may seem insignificant. Going to your job, raising your children, whatever, it may seem simple. It may seem mundane, but we need to understand God uses those things in our life to train us for something bigger.
Amen.
With our lives.
Amen.
There's a lesson about the trouble of a sufferer. I want to ask you something. How do you think that coin got in the fish's mouth? Did it grow there? No. Now, I've read about these fish, and I know they carry their babies in their mouth, and then when the babies grow, leave, they put dirt and rocks, and anyhow, they catch fish over there with coins in their mouth all the time. But I want to say this. Jesus said the first time, it was a miracle. But Brother Larry, how did that coin, this coin, they tell me was 2 days' wages. How did that coin end up in that fish's mouth? I'm going to tell you how it got in his mouth, because it fell out of somebody else's pocket. On the other shore of that lake, there was a man wringing his hands, saying, oh my goodness, I've lost my coin. How am I going to buy groceries? How am I going to provide for my family? I've worked 2 days for nothing. I worked 2 days and I don't even, he'd lost that coin. But on the bottom of that sea, there was a fish with that coin in his mouth and he was swimming over there out to the other shore. And what that man on the other side did not realize is God had a bigger plan for that coin than what he did. You see, this one man's loss was another man's gain. That comforts me to know that when we lose things that are precious to us, that when we lose things that we love, and when we go through times of sorrow and pain, that we can take consolation in this, that God may use our loss to be somebody else's gain.
That's right.
Oh, listen, Paul, he had said over there in Philippians, he said, I've counted all things but loss. He had left it all behind. His education, he said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I mean, he was a man that when concerning the law was blameless. He was trained in the schools. Listen, the highest schools of learning. He was a man, a leader. He was headed for the highest position in Israel. But he said, I counted it all but loss. But aren't you glad he lost all that? Because what have we gained as a result of his loss? What about that? The gospel of the grace of God, aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad for Romans chapter 5 and verse 1? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad? Listen, aren't you glad for Ephesians 2, 8, 9? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad for the Romans Road? I heard some people making fun of the Romans Road the other day. I want to say this to them. They're idiots. Amen? Anybody make fun of the Bible, you're an idiot. Amen? I'm thank God. Aren't you glad for Romans 3, 10? As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Aren't you glad for Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Aren't you glad for Romans 6:23? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you glad for Romans 5:8? But God commendeth his love towards us, and while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad for Romans 10:9? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt. I'm glad for that. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad? Listen, for Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I. But Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Now I want you to see something. We gained all that because he was willing to lose everything.
Amen.
And it helps us in hard times to realize that our loss God can use for somebody else's gain. Christ's provisions that are divine. Christ's pardon through death. I'm about out of gas, but I'm going to finish. Anyway. It says in verse 27, the last part, I want you to see this. Thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me. Now here it is. And thee. Verse 24, look what it says. Doth not your master pay tribute? Peter was not the one that was in discussion. It was Jesus. But Brother David, he didn't just pay his, he paid Peter's too. When we think about these blessings, God, we see it in Christ paying our debt. Notice this. He accepted Peter's responsibility for the debt. That wasn't Jesus' debt to pay, but he paid it anyway. I got news, my sin was not his responsibility. Brother David, he wasn't responsible for my sin. I was.
That's right.
He had never told a lie. He had never even thought of a lie. He had never committed sin. He had never had an evil thought. But yet he took every lie. He took every sin. He took every... He, listen, you see this? We see Jesus is taking responsibility for another man's death. If you're here this morning, you're watching, and you're not saved, there is a debt that you owe. Oh, and listen, for someone who tried, listen, how many of you know how burdensome it is to have debt? People wonder why I drive old trucks, because I hate debt. Do you understand? And them old Toyotas are better than y'all's new Chevrolets and Fords anyway, but that's besides the point. But we know, we understand, but you know what? You know the relief that when that debt's paid. I mean, Kim and I just paid one off here pretty recently. And boy, I mean, I felt like singing that song. Thank God I'm free, free, free. But you understand the sin debt can never be paid by a sinner. Somebody said when you go to hell, you're going to go to pay for your sin. That's partially true. You'll never be able to pay for your sin. You can pay on it, but you'll never pay it.
That's right.
And oh, listen to me. We should rejoice and be glad for this blessing. Peter didn't realize this was a blessing in disguise. Peter thought he was going to get a coin for Jesus' debt, but he actually was going to pay for his own. He accepted Peter's responsibility for that, but then he abolished Peter's reproach for the debt. For a Jew who was 20 years or older, it was a great reproach to not pay the temple tax. Not only did Jesus take Peter's responsibility, but he took his reproach away. Peter could walk around town and look everybody in the eye. Have you ever had somebody owed you money? I know someone right now owes me $560 for a month, and I'm not bitter about it, but I am a little peeved about it, if that makes sense. And every time I drive by her house, I think, that thieving, stealing, dirty. Bless her, Lord. I would call her name, but I don't want a lawsuit for defamation. But you know, when you owe somebody, you just kind of have a way of looking the other way. There's a man right now, oh, and he's probably watching. This is for you. You know who you are. I've got a dog over here, 9 months old. She's done treated almost 60 coons by herself, and he still hadn't got me the papers that he owes me. I called him the other day. He said, well, she's treeing coons. I said, yeah, it's like driving a car without a title. But Brother Larry, every time he avoids me. He don't talk to me. He don't call me. He don't message me. Why? Because there's a reproach. There's a reproach in owing that debt. But old Peter could walk around town with his head high. He could look the old temple man in the eye and say, hey, I'm good. My debt's been paid. And oh, aren't you glad we don't have to bow our head because we're sinners and on our way to hell. But my sins have been paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. And the reproach is gone.
Yeah.
But he afforded Peter's release from the debt. Peter was no longer bound by that debt. He was set free. All I'm saying is, those are some blessings in disguise. Blessings in disguise. And you and I need to trust the unseen hand of God. And know that just because we don't see it, just because we don't understand it, just because we don't like it, does not mean that God is not working in our lives. Now, how this day, listen, what happened? I say Peter went out there. He got his old pole. Normally he fished with nets, but he said he set a hook. He didn't even put no bait on the hook. He just dropped it right down in the bottom, and the old sinker hit the bottom of that lake, and he pulled on it a little bit, and God, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, to him, I can't whistle. I wish I could. But, you know, whistle like that. Here come one of them little fish over there, swallowed that hook. Old Peter reeled it up, pulled it up, whatever they did back then, and he looked at it, and he opened his mouth. And right there in the mouth of that fish was not only what it was more than he needed. And listen this morning, I'm so glad the same God that did that for Peter, he's alive and well. He's still working. He'll still meet our needs. He'll still answer our prayers. He'll still solve our problem. But we must trust him to give us blessings in disguise.
Amen.